Today is the 22nd, July, 2019. 23rd already, Wow, so fast, Oh yeah, 23rd already, Sunday was 21st, 23rd of July, 2019, Tuesday class, So let us now compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Kwansing Pusa. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Amitofo. Namo Mi Lo Fo, Namo Mi Lo Fo, Namo Mi Lo Fo, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Pusien Pusa, Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa, Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa, Namo Di Zhang Wang Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa, Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang namasami Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Sanghang namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then turn to page 1 of the chanting book. We shall chant from the Vandana onward. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Micchacara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Musavada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majjhapamatthana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa ditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang Pujayami tamonudang Ganda sambarayutena Dopenahang suganghina Pujaye pujaniyantang Puja bhajanamuttamang Vanna ganda gunopetang Etang kasumasantatin Pujayami munindas Siripada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kasumena nena Punnena matena chahotu mokhang Pupang milayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati vinasabhavang Adivase tunobante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patikan hatu mutamang Adivase tunobante Le parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patikan hatu mutamang Adivase tunobante Pojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatumutamang Now we are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajam. Buddhang pujami Dhammang pujami Sanghang pujami. Okay, you can be seated. then you are off the light, and you can have half an hour of silent awareness meditation. Yeah? Just relax body and mind. Yeah? Then maintain awareness. Mm. For those who already know how to meditate, you just proceed straight away. Yeah? If your spiritual faculties are already established, you can meditate naturally and very easily. Yeah? Your mind will be in the state of sati immediately. Yeah? Even if there is little bit of thinking, you just relax, aware, silent. The thinking will slow down by itself. Then you will be in the natural state of awareness straight away because of your spiritual faculties established. Otherwise, the mental hindrance will be there to disturb you. Mm. But for those who have yet to develop their spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrance, they will be active. And if you do not have the stability of daily mindfulness to be heedful in the midst of life, your heedless living will condition the mental hindrance. It will cause your mind to have problem. You think a lot, you worry a lot. Your mind is most of the time restless. Seldom is it in the mode, in the silent mode. Where you are just aware. Because without the spiritual faculty, sati cannot be there. So if you have this mental hindrance hindering you, then you have to use a skillful means to overcome it temporarily. You can either use a very suitable technique called mind sweeping method combined with metta to temporarily decondition the heedless thinking. And through all these skillful means, you can bring about a quiet state of mind. Means it can temporarily bring about the condition for the five mental hindrance not to arise. So mind sweeping method is very simple. You just relax body and mind completely, then silence everything. Breathe in, breathe out naturally. Make sure you have a stable posture, backbone straight. Then after that, you just close your eye. Then move your attention to your forehead. Then you feel if there's any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just feel it. Relax, relax, relax. Soothingly relax all of the muscle in your forehead. Then sweep it down to your eye muscle. Do the same. Relax, aware, silent. When you just relax and maintain awareness or feel, you will not think. And because you do this very often, until you finally able to develop the ability to decondition all the heedless thinking. So when you can do that, the mental hindrance also will temporarily be prevented from arising. So you will have the ability to temporarily decondition your heedless thinking and keep your five mental hindrance at bay. Then this mind can be peaceful and calm. After that, you should use anapanasati to stabilize it. So mind sweeping method can bring about the inner peace, the calmness, the awareness. Then stabilize it with anapanasati. Before that, if you want to combine with metta to bring about inner well-being, you can. So instead of developing only inner peace, when you combine with metta, loving kindness, you can bring about inner well-being. You can relate initially to your own body and mind. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the well-being and happiness deep within your own form and mind, each and every cell within your physical body and your mental states, free of all suffering, both mental and physical suffering, free from all danger, free from all harm. And may your mind state still be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble. May you keep yourself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within. So all this can make you very, very calm, very peaceful, and you develop inner well-being. So inner peace followed by inner well-being is a very conducive meditative state. Then after that, use anapanasati to stabilize it. Okay, I'll let you all meditate on your own. Then when the 30 minutes is up, the alarm will go off. Then I will ring the bell. Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of your meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness or mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, then we turn to page 6. Page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Munirajasa Sunantu Sakamokadam Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampano sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Samichipatipanno bhagavato savakasangho Yadidang chatari purisa yogani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato savakasangho Ahuneyo, Pahuneyo, Dakeneyo, Anjali Karaneyo, Anutarang Punyaketang Lokasati. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let's pay respect to Pajam. Badang Pajami Damang Pajami Sanghang Pajami Okay, you all can be seated. Then we will continue from where we stop. I think we finished chapter 34. Now we are at chapter 35. The title is The Way to Nibbana. But Nibbana is not a place. So that's why the title should be slightly revised. The Way to Realize Nibbana. Means to realize the enlightenment. We are at page 512. But today, I think I want to go through your the last Tuesday's outline short note. So that at least you can have a better understanding of what was discussed last week. Okay. I will now. Can somebody help to bring the chair over? Just put it here. Yeah. Yeah. Just leave it here. Yeah, in front. Okay, thank you. Okay. The rest of you can gather. Okay, those who have the handphone, you can go to Maitreya Metta. Then click on the short notes for this last Tuesday. Okay, it's July 16. Brother Theo's July 16, 2019. Tuesday class outline short notes. We are at chapter 34 that time. Characteristics of Nibbana, page 498 onwards. Let me come. Just about to start. So, the note number one, I read to you. Nibbana is destruction of lust, hatred, and delusion, which are the three ego roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. If you can root them out, you will be able to realize enlightenment, which is Nibbana. And it is the unconditioned, and thus is not subject to becoming, change, and dissolution. Then note number two. Men desire to live peacefully and happily with their dear ones or loved ones, surrounded by amusement and pleasure. But when faced with misfortune, the inevitable sorrow and suffering will devast many of them. So this one is very true, because without the Dhamma, you will suffer. So all sensual pleasure is a prelude to suffering. You don't have the Dhamma. Everything experienced by the senses is sorrowful if you attach. Because even pleasurable state can turn to misery when those states disappear. Craving and desire is a bottomless pit. If they understand the Dhamma and apply it, they can steer clear away from sorrow. So this is the beauty of the Buddha's teaching. Note number three. Material happiness is merely gratification of desire. Desire are insatiable. However, Nibbanic beliefs is different. It is permanent. According to the Buddha, there are 10 grades of happiness, starting from materialistic happiness that is derived from the stimulation of the senses, to the more sublime. The more sublime state are the 8 type of jhana, the 4 step of form jhana, and the other 4 of formless jhanic state. So there are total of 4 plus 4. 8 sublime state. So this jhanic state is supposed to be much more peaceful, calm, tranquil, still. And the last one is the exalted one, which is transcendental and with equanimity born of wisdom, type of happiness. The highest happiness is Nirodha Sahampati, which is experiences the cessation of Nibbana, which is the highest bliss. Then the question is, where is Nibbana? So I answer, it's not a place, nor is it a supramundane state of mind. Because when you are in that supramundane state of mind, means together the five aggregate of form and mind, you have a mind. You are not in the cessation state, or you are not in the nibbanic state. It is a blissful abiding of full release from the ills of life. This is true. Blissful abiding of full release, because it's completely released from the conditioned world, from the ills of life. The best way to know it is through self-realization by the form and mind. Note number 5. With cessation, one realizes Nibbana. Bharatiya recounted his experience of such cessation again. Initially, it was just a glimpse of it. He noticed his thinking, Sankara activity reducing as he straightened his view and improved on his understanding of the Dhamma. He continued to meditate with a free mind rather than a conditioned one. First, he noticed his brain activity slow to a halt. Mind was very quiet. There was only spacious awareness without a center while in the formal meditation. Later on, his whole brain shut down completely and his former mind ceased for a moment. Then the pure awareness without thought came back. He felt one with everything. He could perceive all distant sound or vibration if he chooses to. After that, transformation occurred, and he can understand all Dhamma very easily and clearly on his own. Initially, it was just a glimpse of the Nibbanic bliss. Later, his cessation kept happening and they lasted longer. Then 9 months later, the mundane mind collapsed and his nature's pure awareness or supramundane mind shined forth. After that, awareness is like automatic and the mind does not dwell anymore because there is no more sankara or mundane mind to cloud it. Initially, he has to learn how to use this supramundane mind, which is so fine as if there is no mind at all. After he connect to his true nature, his internal movement and transformation happened, and he then inherited the spiritual understanding of his past life's cultivation from his spiritual nature very fast. He then became constantly aware in the midst of life from then on. The direct seeing is so clear after that. Truth is everywhere in the midst of life and nature. And he started seeing them all the time. Before that, even though nothing within nature has changed, he can't see them. But after that, the seeing came, and he was so amazed that everything has become so clear and so vivid. So this is something for you to develop the understanding. So what I have described here is very important. Then later on, when you go through the transformation, we will understand what all this is. Then later on, the mundane mind will also collapse. 9 months later, after it happened, the mundane mind collapsed. Note number 5. Then the pure nature, nature's pure awareness, the supramundane mind shine forth. That time, like I used to explain to you all, like no need to meditate, no need to do anything. You are in that state of constant awareness, perfectly aware all the time. even when you go to sleep. Because there is no more mundane mind. It's just that supramundane mind, that nature shine forth. That's why after that I saw everything in nature. The universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, non-self, they are there in the midst of life and nature, everywhere, every moment, every instant. But last time before the pandemic collapsed, everything is still the same but can never see. Because the sankhara is still there, very active. Then later on, even when the mindfulness starts to come, of course, there is more clarity, more moments of silent awareness. But unless you go through the cessation, you can never understand the true deep meaning of the Buddha's teaching. That's why the Dhamma is pachyetang, can be realized by the wise, only the wise, each for themselves. Means the form and mind that go through the cessation will understand what this thing is. Because the wisdom is connected to that form and mind. Without the wisdom, the form and mind cannot cease. And if the form and mind cannot cease, it cannot understand what this thing is. But because it sees, and when it sees, it's fully aware. That's why it knows the whole happening, the whole process of it. Then when it goes through it, the form and mind, after the consciousness come back, will understand everything very clearly. So in Mahayana, they call it 不生不灭. You will realize a state. Actually, it's not a mind state. We have to use a word. A nibbanic state, which is non-arising, non-ceasing, because it's the unconditioned. You know what is the unconditioned? Maybe I get Pamasuri to write the Mandarin word, 不生不灭, Nippon. Cessation. This cessation can be the concentration one. This cessation on Nibbana is the real cessation. Understand? The other one is the fourth jhana one. You go in, it's also cease. Nirodha Sahampati. But that one is not the real Nibbana. The real Nibbana is the whole form of mind, even the pure awareness, also no more. That's why it's a cessation of Nibbana. So that Nibbana is actually the unconditioned. That's why you must realize this. In Mahayana, they always say this, 不生不灭. You must realize this state of the unconditioned. 不生不灭. Nibbana. So, 生 is arising, or birth. 灭 is ceasing. So the state of Nibbana that is realized is the cessation of everything. That's why there is no arising and no ceasing. That's why this state is very beautiful, the way they describe it. I find it very appropriate. 不生不灭. So completely everything ceases. No mind at all. Even the pure awareness also no more. There is nothing inside there. You cannot talk about it because it's beyond word, beyond the conditioned world. It's beyond the thing that can be expressed. It's just like the Tao, the Tao taught by Lao Tzu. He wrote this book, Tao Te Ching, Tao Te Ching. That book is a very good book. Very, very profound, full of wisdom. And the opening statement is exactly like what the Buddha has taught. He said, there is this Tao. He said, this Tao is not something you can easily understand. Yeah. He said, nothing is apart from the Tao. And yet this Tao is very difficult to comprehend. He said, the opening statement, Tao ke Tao, Fei Chang Tao. Whatever that can be spoken or described or talked about, that is not the true Tao. That's why you cannot express it. But yet, he say, nothing is apart from the Tao. Everything arises from the Tao. So my last guy, he make a joke. He say, the Malay word, ta tao. Everything also tao, tao, tao. So he say, cannot understand, ta tao. So because of that, that teaching of Lao Tzu is seldom taught or seldom discussed. In fact, it's a very profound teaching. It's just like the Diamond Sutta or the Heart Sutta. Not very thick. Just don't know how many words on it. But this teaching is very, very profound. Very, very deep in its meaning. Okay, so we covered the characteristics of Nibbana. Do you have any question? Or do you want to ask anything related to it? Now is your chance. You want to understand what that thing is. I have described it to the best I can. So that later on, some of you who has gone through it, you can develop the understanding. But for you to develop the full understanding, your mundane mind must collapse. Otherwise, not easy. Because that transformation is not something that the living being can understand. It's only that being that has developed that transformation and understanding, has gone through that transformation, can understand. Anybody? Or you have any question regarding this topic of Nibbana? Such an interesting topic, no question. Pass to Yun Chan. Behind you, tell me. Yeah, Yun Chan, yes.
So at the first glimpse of Nibbana, is the person already a Sotapanna?
Yeah, you are at least a Sotapanna. Otherwise, you cannot even have that glimpse. That glimpse of Nibbana is the change of lineage. You know that change of lineage. In the 16 stages of jnana or insight knowledge, there is a stage that they call change of lineage. From a puttajana, you become an enlightened being, Arya. What is the word already? Gotrabhu. Wow, you remember that word. Correct. That is the word, Gotrabhu. So, when you go through that glimpse of cessation, there is a change of lineage. Means you no longer an ordinary puttajana or an enlightened human being. You become an enlightened being, Arya. And the Arya, that's why that glimpse of Nibbana, even though just a glimpse, but the form and mind that realizes that, that goes through that, will understand that one very deeply. That's why after that, he will know what that Pusan Pumia is all about. Then he will come to know the form and mind is not him. And that cessation is not something that you can talk about or describe. But there is nobody inside there. He know you, he know me. It's just the unconditioned, which is to be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And nobody can realize it. And the moment you can do that, means you have the wisdom. You already break free from sacrality, self delusion. The first three factors already severe, especially Sakya Ditti. self-delusion. Once that one's severe, the other two is automatic. Faith in the triple gem. Then you are no longer deceived by rite and ritual. So these three fetters straight away rooted out. Do you know how powerful that glimpse is or not? I still remember now, after that, everything I see, I hear, I smell, I taste, totally feel off through the thought process, becomes so different now. Like you can understand them so clearly, you know. Then all the Dhamma, the moment I read, I understand now. Just because of that glimpse. That's why that glimpse itself is very, very powerful. Then later on, it keep on happening. Then earlier on, before the class start, I explained to Yun Chan also. Because the very fine suffering, later on, when the cessation goes through long enough, then before my mundane mind collapse, I remember. The mind is so sensitive, it can't even try to read something or do something. Cannot. Even at the moment of perception, the arising of Sankara, at the moment of consciousness, even to become aware, conscious, the fine suffering in the mind, you can feel them. Then you doesn't want to arise all those things. Then you will come to know. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Then insight will tell you, you want to suffer, you go and use the fire aggregate of form in mind. You go and think. You go and do all those funny things that living beings do. That's why that time is so fine, so sensitive. Then everything is so clear. Then the mind keep on just wanting to go into that cessation. That's why after that, the cessation keep on happening. Because that phase that you go through, it will show it to you. That as it happens, it will last longer and longer. Then when you come out of it, you will understand the whole creation very clearly. How all this cease, then how it come back. I remember at that time I was still working. 1989. That time I left my comfortable job to come out to test myself in the midst of life and society. I joined the consultant from a very comfortable statutory body. I purposely come out. Then I get myself involved in consultancy again, do design, all those things. The brain cannot do already. Cannot do all those things. Then some more, the firm I joined, after I joined, we got a lot of contract. A lot of clients like us. So I was involved with a lot of very major projects. That's why I reached the pinnacle of my career, was because of that. Then I realized after that, after the mundane mind collapse, I had to learn how to use the supra mundane mind. For a while, not too long, that one. But after that, the fine suffering no more disturb me, No more disturb me. Because that mind becomes so fine, supramundane mind, no mind inside there. So there is nothing anymore. That's why during that time, you cannot want to do mindfulness, because you are fully aware that nature is real and that. That's why I still remember that time when I just started to come out and share. That was about 15 years later when I met up with Yun Chan. He invited me to come out to share. Then he keep on telling me, "But your Dhamma is so good, it's a waste. Why not you go for a retreat?" I also don't know how to answer that time. I said, "Never mind, just let things be." Because that thing has become so different. And that was 15 years later, 89 to 2004. Then now another 15 years later, this 2019, our gathering of Kayamita, 2019 minus 2004 is another 15 years old. So that's why this year is a bit unique, 15th anniversary, for my nature to come out and share the Dhamma officially. So this year, you all should try to come for the gathering, 6th of October. It's a lunch, Sunday. So we are going to the F1 kitchen, not F1 circuit. Don't go to the wrong one. You go to the F1 circuit, you cannot find the restaurant there. This one is in Puchong. The parking is quite easy. It seems you park inside, you pay 4 ringgit. You park outside, jockey parking, 10 ringgit. So carpool, cheaper. Then there are two car parks. I think one go up direct. There are two floor, two-story car park. Then there's another one, basement one, I was told. Then there's a lot of open car park, jockey. But that day, Sunday, you want to save your parking, you park on the public car park. The public car park in front of the shop, I think most of them are empty during that time. You can park there and walk short distance only, less than 10 meters away. But when you drive there, you have to be careful. You come from PJ, you go through the LDP toll. After you clear the toll, you make sure you're on the right lane. No? Otherwise, you go up, you cannot turn inside the shop there. No? You will have to go straight because they got this barricade that will barricade and prevent you from turning in. Not Plaza A. But you go up the flyover. After the toll come out, you go straight. You try to keep to the center there. But don't go to Bukit Jalil. There is straight go to Bukit Jalil. You follow the first lane on the turn. Keep to the first lane. Maybe draw here. I draw here better. Otherwise, if you miss, if you are not familiar with Puchong, you will go for a very Yao Chai Ho, very long one. So let's say this one is LDP toll. LDP Puchong toll. So immediately after the toll, so here is PJ. Then here is to Bukit Jalil. There is a flyover. This flyover, this one is to Puchong. And there are many lanes now. So you keep to the first lane. Then you don't miss. I think the first and second lane is still okay. But you don't go inside. You go inside, then they block you off. You cannot turn into the shop. But the restaurant is just here somewhere, I think. Inside the shop here. You can see immediately you turn up here, you can see this F1 kitchen. What is the building already? The name of the building is what? New Way, I think so, yeah. The building is very big one. You can see from the flyover, you can see it's just in front of you. Then you have to go further out and turn back to the shop there. Then you will see the signage is all very clear. The ways will take you there. So this place, I think, is a new place. Simon last year was at Copper Mansion. So now we trace him. He was there. So we follow him. We will follow you. He gave us a very good code. That's why you all can get such cheap. We only charge you 60. Kaya Minta Fund subsidize 20 plus. Whereas the dinner set was 800 net. But that dinner set you cannot get for 800. It's supposed to be 1000 plus. Because we know Simon. Then he liked us. You know what he told us or not? He tell Pama Suri Deo, is it? He also tell Clifford and Joyce, is it? He remember last year when we had it at his place. After we book, after we do that thing, the business becomes so good. He's a QC full, is it? So also our Kayamita, quite a number also go and patronize his place because he was, in a way, he was sincere and he's very professional, very good in this field. He really understand restaurant business very well, and he know how to recommend a good combination of food, value for money and all those things. What we like is he is trustworthy, he is sincere. So because of that, a lot of people went and contact him for subsequent booking. I think Mrs. Ho also went there a few times. Pama Suri Deo also went there a few times. Then Clifford and Joyce also used to go there. Then I think Sam and myself also, we used to patronize their place there. So as long as they are sincere and they have the what they call professional understanding to conduct all these things. So these are the people whom we can keep in mind so that when we have any activity, we can use them. It's just like Mr. Our usual tour agent, or a spiritual trip, we get him to do because he really do it very well for us. And he is very sincere. Okay, so does that answer your question, Yinjan? Okay. Any more question? Don't have? Yeah, Adeline, yes. Yeah, push it up.
If someone who goes through cessation, will they are chakras, is that any reason?
Oh, nothing to do with that.
Nothing.
Cessation only need wisdom. Without wisdom, cessation cannot happen. Because the mind must reach that level of wisdom. Like I told you, you can feel the very fine suffering. That's why I say that mindfulness is so stable at that time. You can be at the moment of contact. The mind doesn't move on. It's like, it stay there. I used to say, tuck, stay there. No sound. But it will stay there. That it can be at the moment of feeling. It will remain as pure feeling. It will not stir. Because the initial wisdom is already there. Then later on, the third turning awakening, the direct seeing, that wisdom is very penetrative, very powerful. And because of that, this wisdom is the one that prevents the mind from moving, from stirring, from reacting. Then the spiritual faculty become very stable, unshakable. Become like ballast. That's why it will not move. It's just away. Then it can be at the moment of feeling. Then you release it. It can be at the moment of sankhara. Activity of mind state, everything. Then it can be at the moment of consciousness, the pure awareness, the pure consciousness. In the seeing, there is only the seeing. You can see that very clearly before the words, the concept, the labeling. The perception come in before the input or content. You can be at that moment, stay there. That's why that time is very strange. It's like, oh, it's so interesting. This mind is so beautiful. It really is so different That's why all this, how to describe it, how to share with people. People will think you are crazy. The book also never write. Scripture also never talk about it, all those things. Because these are supramundane state, which normal people cannot get to understand because they have to go through it. So it has nothing to do with the chakra thing. The chakra one is internal one, not the external one. The external one is not really opening chakra. That one is tampering with it. That's why they go and focus and concentrate on the third eye or the heart chakra. So they use external thought energy to do that. Cannot. You do that, it's tampering. Then before the wisdom is there, you do that, your yin-yang imbalance will create trouble for you. That's why those who do the chakra meditation or kundalini meditation, you have to be very careful. They get into a lot of trouble, yin-yang imbalance. Then they attract a lot of mara and other things, get into a lot of trouble because of energy field. Unless you have good teacher. Then the problem with all this samatha meditation is it leads to psychic ability. Then it's just like human beings who are not enlightened, there is this delusion and greed. So you tend to have the greed to use it because it's so interesting and it's so powerful. And if you use it without the wisdom or the pure understanding, the true understanding, you will create karmic repercussion. You will create a lot of karmic negativity without you knowing it. So these are the things that people do not understand. There's a lot of people in the olden days, they like the energy field so much. The kundalini, the chakra, and all this, what they call nerve center type of meditation. Because it really can release a lot of energy and make you like super normal, super being, very powerful, with psychic ability and all those things. But the true opening of chakra is when you can connect to your true mind, your true nature. After you can connect, you have to silence your mind completely. Then let the nature detect the gateway. Stay at the heart. Then let it detect. Then when it detect, the form of mind will know because the energy will all melt inside there. It will go through the gateway and become pure energy. And that pure energy is the one that is intelligent or wisdom energy. And this wisdom energy, they act on their own. That's why the fourth support is trust. Trust your nature to do. No interference from mind. So that pure energy will go in and it will activate the chakra on its own. It will know where to go. It will know which is the one that need to be activated. That's why I remember when I was able to detect that thing after my last guy showed me the gateway. Immediately after that, I don't need him. I don't need even explanation. Because straight away, I already have the first three. I know how to relax, maintain awareness, and I can stay in that state for 24-hour awareness. That's why once the gateway is been made known to my nature, I saw all of my external yin-yang energy moving over to there. It detect, then it just melt inside. Then after it melt inside, straight away my whole mind become very still. Still until completely no thought, nothing at all, no movement. Then that pure energy went in and do its work. I just like a dead body, like somebody dead. Trust, let the nature do. Just do. Everything that happened, I just let it happen. Then I can understand because the awareness was there. Then which part ego and activate and how it finally, the byproduct is gas. That's why during that time I remember, you will fart a lot. But no smell one, don't worry. Don't have foul smell one. Because it's pure energy, pure energy. And that time your whole body, it is like a car, perfectly tuned until the engine got no sound, running smoothly like that. Then you heal whatever problem you have before that, like you got sinus or whatever, it will heal by itself during that time. You become like a perfect human being. The pure energy, the stillness energy, the wisdom energy, everything. So still. Then your face, you no need to like your lady go for one. Facial, you put that thing, no need one. There's a layer of like oil like that one. But it's not oily one. It's, I don't know how to describe it. You can feel it on. It's very smooth one. Very smooth and very nice. It's like your whole body, the skin is like that one. At that time, really like a perfect human being. Don't worry. When you go through it, you understand. That's why a lot of things I used to hint to you all last time. There are so much of this understanding that this nature has, but there is no condition to share them, because you all have that time, especially early years, hardly anybody has reached even the initial stage. Then how to share all these things? But this is way beyond. But now it's different. Now a lot of Kayamita has progressed, and you are able to understand what this thing is. Well, a lot of your nature, because you attend the class and you travel with my nature, so it has actually activated many of your nature. And over the years, you transform without you knowing, especially your internal movement, your nature. If you know how to relax, silent, and maintain awareness, then listen attentively and just relax, rest. Maintain awareness. Then of course later on, after you have the understanding already, you can include the word relax, enjoy. Enjoy the meditation, enjoy all this understanding. It keep on arising. Then during that time I still remember, really amazed at how this mind, after it's transformed, can really give you all those things. That's why you can really experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life every moment, every instant. Everything is so beautiful, so pristine, so wonderful. Then that time, word also cannot describe. Sometimes I need to find new words to explain what this thing is, because you cannot use word to describe them. And a lot of things that happen, it is so different from what the normal human being think or believe in. Because their mind is so conditioned, understand? When you are so conditioned, you cannot understand the unconditioned. And you cannot understand what is a free mind, because you have never experienced that nature before. That stillness, that tranquility, that awareness, the sensitivity of mind, then the transformation of consciousness. Do you know why the mundane mind collapses? Because after you detect the gateway, you do the trust, then the internal transformation happens, then your direct seeing, your wisdom all become very different. That wisdom energy that is developed inside your nature, that one is so fine. You know what is the meaning of fine? Fine until the mundane mind, which is too gross, cannot stay. Do you understand? That's why it must collapse. Because the vibration of the mundane mind is too gross to stay there. You cannot. You cannot means what? finally it will have to collapse. That's why the mundane mind, which is too gross, collapse. I remember here, a layer of consciousness, slowly, when, before it happened, you will know something here happening. Then finally, the whole consciousness just drop off. That's why I like Ajahn Buddhadasa, my teacher's teacher, Swan Mok. I went there, I came to know that he has this, I think, Kuan Yin statue. He got tied, the lady put a cloth in front of your face on that you call it wheel. Is it wheel? V-A-I-L, wheel. The translucent wheel. He say when you become enlightened, it's like that wheel of ignorance. You know what is the word or not? Wheel of ignorance. This wheel of ignorance this one drop off, he said. Drop off. He also described it this way, you know. I went there, when I saw this, I heard this, I was so full of joy, you know. I rejoice. He also know, no, wheel of ignorance, like a wheel like that, just drop off. I believe his one is he's describing the mundane mind drop off. He said after that one drop off, he can understand everything. No, everything is so clear to him. No, that's why different people describe it differently. Then when I saw this, I was full of joy. Then later on, one of his disciples, the lawyer, came down here to share. I think Reverend Dusadi, he was a lawyer. He read law, then he became a monk. Then he was in charge of the foreigner. So that time when I went there with my wife and my children, I think in the year, that time was very early, 1990 something. We were there. I think 1992 or 91 or 92, the early 90s. So he was there in charge of Westerner who go there, the no Thai one, where his English is not bad. He's a university student reading law. So he translate the talk and he guide the foreign devotee. So we were under him. Then later on, he contacted Wave. I think Wave invited him over. Then I met him. Then he hold the retreat in Cameron. That was the year. 5-day retreat, I remember. So before that, I went for a few retreat there too. Then that one was when it happened. But at that time he knew. He knew something happened to me. He was telling Pali on the last day when we want to go back. He saw me completely different. I never talk for the last few days. Not even a single word come out. But I was very still. Yeah, I went through that whole thing. Then I told you in the past I saw the sense data coming in and all those things. Then before I woke up, the bus, he knew, he saw, but he didn't know what happened to me. He told police, Pali, you look at Brother Teo. He's so different. That time, Pali also don't understand. Then later on, after that thing happened already, then when the Monday might collapse, later on, he came some more. Then got one occasion, I got the opportunity to fetch him somewhere, I forgot where already. So in the car, I asked him, I said, do you know Ajahn Buddhadasa mentioned this, the wheel of ignorance? When it drop off, everything become clear. I say, got any significance? He cannot tell me. He doesn't understand. He said, no, just a description. I said, no, must be more than that. But that time, I think, Ajahn Buddha passed away already. So, he don't have a chance to ask him. So that's why this thing, those who go through, they will know. So far, he is the only monk that I heard talking about this. The wheel of ignorance just drop off like that. Yeah. It has to be the mundane mind, otherwise he won't use the analogy of a wheel of ignorance drop off. It's like something drop off that clouded his mind. Yeah. Then after that, everything become clear. And he used this word, which is very good, wheel of ignorance. Yeah. It's like cloud your mind, your true nature, so that you cannot see. Okay? Yeah, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So you should thank Yun Chan and Adeline for asking the good question. Okay, turn to page 512, The Way to Nibbana. Actually, the title should be The Way to Realize Nibbana, not The Way to Nibbana. So under the Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta, Dhammacakka Pavattana Sutta, the middle path leads to tranquility, realization, enlightenment, and Nibbana. That is the Noble Eightfold Path. The way to realize Nibbana is the middle path, Majjhima Patipada, which avoids the extreme of self-mortification that weakens the intellect and the extreme of self-indulgence that retards the moral progress. So they use this, the first interpretation of the middle way. Where the Buddha started off the Dhammacakka Pavattana by advising the monk, you must avoid the two extremes. One is self-mortification, you torture yourself. The other one is sensual indulgence, you indulge yourself with the senses. So he said, both you must avoid. You must tread the middle path, go in the middle. Means, not too hard, not too soft. It's like you play guitar, when you wire your guitar string. Not too hard, not too soft, just nice. Because too hard, it may break. And also the music come out, the vibration not nice. Too slack, also the vibration not nice. Just nice. So middle path. But there is another meaning of middle path, which is to transcend duality. The like and dislike. Pleasant, unpleasant. Right and wrong, good and bad. So all these are duality. If you can transcend duality, means you don't create duality. When you don't create duality, think it's just the way it is. No right, no wrong. Right and wrong come from duality. Because duality has two opposites. That's why they are called duality. Two. So when you create one aspect of duality, automatically the other aspect come out. Because whatever that is not good will be bad. Whatever that is not wholesome will be wholesome. So this duality is created by the mundane mind through delusion. So you transcend duality means you can see things as they are, no right, no wrong. No right, no wrong in the sense that human being or living being is just the way they are. They always want to argue based on what? Right according to them. So, right according to them may not be the nature's true interpretation. Where nature's law is the only governing law. So truth is, the reality is, nature is. That's why it's called suchness, tatata. So when you understand suchness, there is no duality. Think it's just the way it is. No right, no wrong. It depends on how you see it, how you understand it. Okay, we read on. The way to realize Nibbana is the middle way, which avoids the extreme of self-mortification that weakens the intellect, and the extreme of self-indulgence that retards the moral progress. The middle path consists of the following eight factors, means Noble Eightfold Path factors. Right understanding or right view, then right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, or right living. Then the four right effort, right mindfulness, and right samadhi. Yeah? Should be samadhi, not concentration. The first two are classified as wisdom, panya. Then the second three as morality, sila. And the last three as samadhi. Yeah? But he go and put right effort as samadhi. Yeah. Actually, right effort is not samadhi. Yeah. Because right effort is still thought-based, actually. Right effort is still sila, under sila. Then, the first two, he say is wisdom. Actually, it's not correct. It's only the first perfect right view or right understanding that is wisdom. Right thought is also under sila. So sometimes you accept it blindly, you tend to believe that what they tell you is correct. But if you were to understand it, it's totally different. That's why after 1989, I look at the Noble Eightfold Path. I say the interpretation of it is not correct. The commentary that interpret it this way is not correct. Sila, Samadhi, and Panya is correct. But that Panya is only right view or right understanding. Right thought is under Sila. Then the Samadhi part, Samadhi is just mindfulness leading to Samadhi. According to the order of development, morality, samadhi, and wisdom are the three stages of the great highway that leads to Nibbana. These three stages are embodied in the beautiful ancient verse. This is the advice of the Buddha. Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyottapadang etang buddhana sasana. This one you must try to remember. This is the advice of all Buddha. Sabba is all. Papasa is evil. Akaranang. So he said all evil must be avoided, not just avoid evil. Then when it comes to kusala, kusala means wholesomeness. He never says sabbe kusala. Do you realize that? He just say kusala. So kusala sa upasambadan. So whatever that is wholesome when it got condition, do. He know you cannot do all wholesomeness. Understand? But when it comes to evil, he say you have to avoid all evil because you don't play a fool with karma. If you don't avoid all evil, you get into big trouble. But wholesomeness, he know you cannot do all. So that's why he never used the word sabbe kusalesa. So he just kusalesa upasampada. Then sacitta. Citta is mind. Sacitta pariyottapadang etang buddhana sasana. Then he say, purify your mind. That is the advice of the Buddha, all Buddhas. That's a etang buddhana sasana. All Buddha sasana teach the same. To cease from all evil, the English translation, page 513. To cultivate good, to purify one's mind, this is the advice of all Buddhas. Then we reap what we sow. This one is a revision for you. Evil results in pain and good in happiness. Our pain and happiness are the direct result of our own good and evil. a person with the right understanding realizes this just law of action and reaction, actually is moral causation, and of his own accord refrain from evil and does good to the best of his ability. He does so for his own good and for the good of others. He considers it his duty to live as a blessing to himself and to all others, knowing that life is precious to all, and that none has any right whatsoever to destroy the life of another. He extends compassion and loving kindness towards every living being, even to the tiniest creature that crawls at his feet, and restrain from killing or causing injury to any living beings. There is no rule that one is to be preyed upon by another. However, the strong do mercilessly kill the weak and feast on their flesh. This is animal instinct. Such action by animals are excusable because they know not what they do. What do you think? Yeah? Excusable. After we discuss it, I will read on. But when those who are gifted with reason and understanding perpetrate such crime, there is no excuse, whether to satisfy one's palate or as pastime, it is not justifiable to kill or to cause. Another living being to be killed. If the killing of animal is wrong, how much more heinous is it to kill human beings individually or collectively? Exploring brutal or so-called civilized method for the lack of peace, religion, or any other seemingly good purpose. So coming to the animal, the animal instinct that kill. What do you think? Excusable or karmic? Got karmic consequence? Yeah, lah. So it's allowable. Cannot. No, because what we want to discuss is the author say animal instinct is excusable. So when you are hungry, you can go and rob people and steal their food. Cannot, isn't it? No, it's not whether you can work or not, because the nature's law of karma is whatever you do, you reap what you sow. You cannot cause suffering, understand? You cannot cause fear. You cannot cause problem. Well, all this has karmic consequence. So you reap what you sow. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, and you are what you are because of this one. Apply across the board, not only to human beings, to all living beings. That's why, regardless of animal instinct or whatever, before we are civilized, we also call barbarian. We are also nomads, barbarian. So sometimes you look at the native or what they call the indigenous people, traditional tribal people, they are so backward, and they live the life of like barbarian. Sometimes they cannibalize human beings and eat them because of their wrong view, their belief, and all those things. So sometimes when they find that nature's condition is very intolerable or with a lot of calamity or whatnot, then they come out with the wrong view. They say God is angry, they need sacrifice. So they really sacrifice children and all this thing. So a lot of these things are born of ignorance. Then when there is lightning also, they say God is angry. Drought, no water, God is punishing them. Too much water, flood, God angry also. So all these are nature's law. That's why when the scientists understand, they never attribute it to God or evil forces. Everything can be understood through science, through perfect understanding of the spiritual mind. Okay, we read on. Honesty, trustworthiness, and uprightness also are the characteristics of a person with right understanding. Such a person tries to abstain from all form of stealing, whether in its dissembled or obvious form. Abstaining from sexual misconduct, which debases the exalted nature of man, he tried to be pure and chaste. He avoids false speech, harsh speech, slandering people, and frivolous talk, and speak only what is true, sweet, kind, and helpful. That's why you must speak in a very nice and pleasant manner. Gentle, pleasant, and good speeches that brings about harmony, love, and understanding. As certain drinks and drugs promote heedlessness and mental distraction, he avoids intoxicant or intoxicating liquor and cultivate heedfulness and clarity of vision. These elementary principles of regulated behavior are essential to one who tread the path to Nibbana, chiefly because they tend to control both deeds and words. Violation of them introduces obstacle that hinders his moral progress on the path. Observance of them means smooth and steady progress along the path. Having progressed a step further in his gradual advance, the aspirant now tries to control his senses. Actually, the word control is wrong. It's restrain. Sense restrain. You don't go and control. Control is suppression. Sense restraint, born of understanding. To restrain craving for food and to promote buoyancy of mind and body, abstemiousness or fasting at least once a month is advisable. Plain and simple living is preferable to the luxurious life which makes one a slave to passion. A life of celibacy is recommended, as one's valuable energy thus conserved could then be utilized wholly for the intellectual and moral welfare of oneself and others. In such a life, one is detached from additional worldly bonds that impedes moral progress. Almost all spiritual teachers, it would appear, have nourished their bodies sparingly and have led to life of strict celibacy, simplicity, voluntary poverty, and self-control. While he progressed slowly and steadily with regulated words and deeds and sense restraint, the karmic force of the striving aspirant compelled him to renounce worldly pleasure and adopt the ascetic life. To him then comes the idea that a den of strival is household life and filled with toil and need, but free and high as the open sky is the life of the homeless lad. So this one is what the monk will say. Those who go for will tell you. But as a lay person, you can also cultivate. You have the understanding. In fact, in our society nowadays, it is better to be in the lay life. Otherwise, you cannot be tested. You cannot think in a way that you believe if you avoid all these things, then you stand a better chance. But the world is the world, you understand? Civilization evolves, the world evolves. It's just like technology, science. technology is here to stay, whether you like it or you don't like it, understand or not? The actual problem is not with technology, understand? It's with the individual who use technology. Yeah? Because if you look at the two, cultivation, the lay life versus the homeless life or those who renounce, that's why the Buddha established this synergy between the lay community and the monks or the renunciate. So it's supposed to be a synergy or symbiosis. You help each other. The lay people support the monastic, and in return the monastic give them blessing and support them back. Yeah. So this is a very good synergy. Yeah. But then you have to understand, this synergy is also meant to be a training, so that you believe in your parami, you believe in your own cultivation. And the Buddha make it very clear, you must be worthy of offering. That's why they have to cultivate sincerely, devote full time. If you do that, of course, you will progress faster. Yeah. You will do well. But not everybody can have that condition. Because when you go into the monastic life, most people are also troubled by the politics of monastic life. And also the problem with interaction with lay community. Some of these monastics, they are too involved with the lay community, especially the city monk. Do you realize that? Yeah. And sometimes they actually devote a lot of time doing lay things because they are involved in many things. Yeah. And these are things that you cannot avoid. But if you know how to develop the understanding of the cultivation, that's why the four type of clear comprehension is very important. Domain of meditation is the most important. No matter where you are, anywhere, any place, any posture, any situation, you can cultivate. Because the real cultivation is the four foundation of mindfulness. The daily mindfulness, the spiritual faculty, the essential Dhamma. If you can develop all this, even as a lay person, if you have the sincerity, the faith, the diligence, you will progress amazingly fast too. Yeah. And sometimes if you are so focused, you progress faster than normal cultivator. Yeah. Even a lot of monastic, they may not have those conditions, because it's just like you cannot have the cake and eat it, understand? You want to go that way, there are benefits, there are advantages, but there are also disadvantages. Do you understand? Yeah, we have to go a lot of rules. It's also part of the training rule. But there's a lot of things they cannot have. Like when they are sick. Depend on their parami, understand? They cannot go and ask for things. Yeah. So they need people to make offering. They need support from the lay community. Then sometimes if you are not so famous, or if you are in a remote place where support are very lacking, so how do you cultivate? That's why my teacher Achayantra, initially when he cultivated, he didn't renounce. He became a yogi. You know as a yogi or not? He left home. He keep the 10 precepts. Then he keep his long hair like lady, but he wear white. Then with a walking stick that he found in the jungle. Then he go and make his arms bow through the coconut shell, shiny on. And he survived on his own. Only later when he became famous, then people went and see him, make offering to him. His disciples supported him and see him. But when he was alone that time, as a yogi, ascetic, he cultivate on his own. He doesn't need real support because he believes in nature. Nature is his greatest teacher. And later on, when he went to Samok, he told us, you know what is the meaning of Samok or not? Huh? You don't know what is Samok? A garden. Samok is a garden of something to do with liberation. Means that place is like garden of liberation, where you can gain enlightenment there. And that place is very conducive. My teacher later on, he heard so much about Ajahn Buddhadasa. He read his book. He liked his book. There are a few books that he wrote, it very good. One of them is the Handbook of Mankind. You must read that book. Handbook of Mankind. Then there are a few more books that he has written, which is very good. Then he went there. He wanted to actually test him. This is a story I heard from him. What's the time now? Minutes, just enough for story. Okay. Okay, I will just tell you this story. He said he went there. You know what he did or not? At first, he stand from a distance, very far. He stared at him for one day. Then he moved nearer. Again he stared at him. Nearer. He stared at him for 1 week. Ajahn Buddhadasa, he stared at him. Then he didn't talk to him, he didn't do anything. Every day he looked at him. Wherever he go, he looked at him. And you know what happened? After the 7 day, he decided he is the real one. He went in front of him and he paid respect to him. And you know what happened now, he said, Ajahn Buddhadasa, Buddhatala, he called him, Ajahn Buddhadasa, didn't even respond. Tong hui mo to, as if he don't exist. Then after that, he talk to Ajahn Buddhadasa, means out of respect and all those things. He said, forgive me if you have done anything wrong, you know. And when he said that, you know what Ajahn Buddhadasa responded? I know who are you. I know why you are here. Because he got the jhana. Ajahn Buddhadasa also got the jhana. They can feel each other's nature. Then he said, you can stay if you want. This place is like make yourself at home or something like that. Then he invited him to stay and lead the morning chanting and all those things. Then later on teach the monk under Ajahn Buddhadasa. That's why he became very famous after that. He went and paid respect. And he said he wants to like Paisi become his disciple. That's how it all started. So, people who has the Dhamma, you can know because they will not be affected by what you do. But he asked for forgiveness before he do it. He already said, my purpose is to just find out, to test him and all those things. Then after that, he asked for forgiveness again in person. That's why it was very interesting. A lot of things actually come about because of condition. When he was in the forest as a yogi, he read a lot of books. And the book he liked best is the Handbook of Mankind, written by Ajahn Buddhadasa. And he learned so much from him. Then also, there are a lot of what they call nature's teaching. That's why he said, nature is his greatest teacher. through observing nature, he learned. He studied until college, you know. He was a diploma holder. You know what he studied, you know? Tourism. He studied tourism. Then he went to Bangkok to work for one of the hotel. And when he was there, I think within less than 3 months, he decided to quit the job and become a yogi, go to the forest and meditate. Because he couldn't understand, no, how come these tourists are, they already have the good life, no, because he was from a small town, remote area. I forgot his hometown already. It's somewhere south of Thailand, near the class Isthmus there, south of Suratani also. I forgot that. It's near the sea, near the beach. Very nice place. I've been there. Huh? No, there's another name. Hami Mielia Hong. No. Near Songkran. Near this Hakiao Resort there. It's further up. I forgot the name already. It's a very nice place. Yeah. But never mind. What is important is, he said, these people were so like tourists. They have money there. The hotel room to him is so luxurious, though. And yet they complain, though. They want this, they want that. Not clean, also complain. Then he said, what is going on in the world? He said, I don't want to end up like these people, full of desire, full of craving, and like not contented with life, you know. To him, it's like, to be able to stay in such a nice hotel room is really already a luxury, you know. He said, these people somehow complain, you know. Then the toilet, got long bath, got shower, got all the toothbrush, everything. Not happy, you know. Complain, you know. Not clean, he want cleaner one. Towel, old one, the one, one new one. Then a lot of thing. He realized, if he continued to work there, he will be influenced by all these things. That's why he decided to give up. He said, human being, not contented, not satisfied with life, don't know how to appreciate life. That's why you must come from rural place, difficult condition for you to appreciate the good life, the better life. If you are born with a silver spoon, chances is you can never learn all these things. You never appreciate. Because you take for granted. And a lot of things you just demand. That's why he left. And he went to the forest. But he progressed very fast. That's why after that, when he came out, he visited all these, a few of these very famous living master in Thailand, and they were the one that actually certified him and confirmed him. That's why he became very famous after that. And he has a lot of followers, and he was so popular at that time, during the heyday. But later on, he landed himself with some karmic problem, some political thing. Don't know how it create repercussion. Nakhon Sitamalat, correct. Nakhon Sitamarat, that is his birthplace, his hometown. He got one uncle, also meditator. Oh, very good, is it? And this uncle, before he left for, after he become monk, after he ordained, he went back to the hometown, and his preceptor is very good. Then his uncle, also very good monk. Then he talked to the uncle. He said, I'm going off to the forest near Burma border, Mae Hong Son, the area. Very nice nature. And he said, he wants to go there and meditate. Then he said, wait, before you go, I give you something. Because 3 months from now, I'm going to pass away. He said, you will not see me anymore. And you know what he did? He took his hand into his mouth. He pull out one molar teeth, give it to him. See? And really, oh, 3 months later, he passed away. Parinibbana. Yeah, you play. Because the uncle also got psychic on. Oh, jhana, everything on. They know. So, in Thailand, it seems at that time, a lot of these Thai good monks are around. So that's what I heard. I don't know the authenticity, but must be true. Then when he young, he liked to hold a lotus as a boy and walk around. That is the life history. And he's Chinese now. Ong Suk Luan, his name, I think. He is Chinese. Thai Chinese. Okay. So we stop here. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we are at page 515. Maybe I finish the last two paragraphs. Thus realizing the vanity of sensual pleasure, he voluntarily forsake all earthly possession and donning the ascetic garb tries to lead the holy life in all its purity. It is not, however, the extreme external appearance that make the man holy, but internal purification and an exemplary life. This is very true. It's not the external appearances, the robe. Transformation should come from within, not from without. This is very true. It is not absolutely necessary to retire to solitude and lead the life of an ascetic to realize Nibbana. The life of a bhikkhu no doubt expedite and facilitate spiritual progress, but even as a layman, sainthood may be attained. He who attains arahantship as a layman in the face of all temptation is certainly more praiseworthy than the bhikkhu who attains arahantship living amidst surroundings that are not distracting. Concerning a minister who attained arahantship while seated in his elephant deck in his best apparel, the Buddha remarked, see, no need to meditate. Ride an elephant also can become arahant. Even though a man be richly adorned, means he wear very, must be branded shirt and all those things. If he walks in peace, if he be quiet, subdued, certain and pure, and if he restrain from injuring any living being, that man is a Brahmin, that man is a hermit, that man is a monk. See? The monk is not what you wear, it's how you cultivate your mind. So this one is a very good example. The Buddha also have a description. There has been several such instances of laymen who realize Nibbana without renouncing the world. The most devout and generous lay follower, Ananda Pindika, was a Sotapan. The Sakya Mahanama was a Sakadagami. The porter Gatikara was an Anagami. And King Suddhodana died as an Arahant. You know who is King Suddhodana? Okay, we end here. So not difficult to become an Arya. Okay, let us do our closing puja, sharing our merits. Then after that, we invoke power, blessing for our nation. Then you make an aspiration. Akasata chobomata devanaga mahindika punyantang anumoditwa chirang rakan tulokasasana etta watta chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatukalena sasa sampati heto ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko idang imena punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yawa nivana patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Chupa Jepa. Then we end.